truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Because I thought it would give people a change.
Isn't it true that Senator Kennedy's committee was 100...
I'm a black woman with a Jewish mother-in-law.
I don't think the American people begrudge.
Yeah, we feel that it's still within the car concert.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I got a whole butt back here just because Martha McCallum's on Red Eye, man.
And she's so hot.
No, she ain't. She's not hot.
Are you... Oh, my God!
She's not hot. Coming up this hour, we'll tell Bud and maybe others, if you need this kind of advice, who's hot on Fox News and who ain't. And I hate to break the news, Martha McCallum ain't one of them. Anyway, what are you looking at, Robert?
Man, you got to admit, I'm Martha McCallum. You don't think she's hot?
I think she's obnoxious. I don't dig her. Plus, if she's supposed to be hot, wouldn't somebody over there at Fox tell her that... The bridge there on the left side of her mouth, she ought to have that checked because when she smiles, there's a big gaping hole.
Are you crazy? I ain't never seen that ever.
Well, that's maybe because you ain't looking for the right thing, see? You're just looking at what you think she's got, and she ain't got it, Jack.
You're wrong.
I'm telling you, next time she smiles and she has that big grin, look at the left side of her face. There's a huge hole where a bridge fell out, maybe into the glass at the edge of her bed. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to the program. 877-876-PHIL is the number here, and you can Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Although we were just talking about Twitter during the break, and I haven't been over to Twitter in years. Years I haven't been over there. And I really got to get back over there. I know Bobby Dooley has a Twitter page, as she does a Facebook page. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/PhilHendry. And you can go there, too. Also, you can follow our show on our website. And not just listen to it, you can watch it. We are on video every night, man. So if you want to look at me as I sit here going through my angst during the break and cursing the day I was ever born and making crude and vile comments about people I see on TV off air, well, you won't want to miss our video cast every night between we do our pre-show, uncensored pre-show, at 9. And when I say uncensored, I mean that. And then it goes all the way to 1, and then we go out and abduct children and slaughter them live on TV, so it's great.
You don't do that.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you, Bud. Yeah, Bud just gave the disclaimer, we don't do that. Thank you. All right, 877-876-PHIL, so that's how we do that. Now, a Muslim woman on Wednesday, that would be today, yesterday, because it's 7 minutes after the midnight hour here in the El Pacifico. A woman Muslim, or a Muslim woman, if you will, on Wednesday sued a Michigan judge for telling her to remove her headscarf in his courtroom, claiming he violated her First Amendment right to practice her religion. Well, now, Raneen al-Baghdadi, age 32, says she felt humiliated. Well, wait a minute, that's not discriminating against your religion. Well, nonetheless, she says she felt humiliated when Wayne County Circuit Judge William Callahan ordered her to remove her hijab at a June 16th hearing in his Detroit courtroom. The headscarf, which does not cover the face, is worn by many Muslims in the U.S. This is the country and the land of freedom, and we're not supposed to be treated like this for the scarf, the Dearborn Heights woman said at a news conference on Wednesday at the Southfield headquarters of the Council on American Islamic Relations Michigan chapter, which is notorious for not understanding the Constitution or any other laws for that matter in this country. A courtroom video of the hearing shows al-Baghdadi appearing before Callahan wearing a loose headscarf. And then the following encounter ensues, which you're going to hear right now on our show. Now, this excerpt that I'm about to play is the best quality excerpt that we could find. Unfortunately, it does not contain perhaps the most relevant piece of audio. You will hear the exchange between the judge and Miss al-Baghdadi, but you will not hear her say at the end, "Okay, it doesn't matter." Okay, it doesn't matter. I don't know whether that is something that would have any weight in a courtroom and certainly in her lawsuit that she's going to have to answer that question by any attorney representing the judge or the court or whoever it is she's suing. But let's listen now. Here is the exchange that took place in the courtroom between this woman, Ms. Raneen al-Baghdadi, and Judge William Callahan.
In the matter of the name change of Raneen Lamia Al-Baghdadi, case number 09104347NC. Okay, the head Peace. Okay. No hats allowed in the courtroom.
It's not a hat. It's a scarf.
Excuse me, sir.
This
it's
one?
No hats allowed in the courtroom.
This one?
Yeah, she's talking about the scarf, and you don't hear her say at the end there, it doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter. Anyway. Here at a press conference, Ms. al-Baghdadi explains why she's filing the lawsuit.
The day I went to court and the judge was, I felt really discriminated and hurt and terrified and scared of him. And that's why I decided to see a lawyer to take care of this case. And also I wanted to help all the Muslim ladies out there, you know, my sisters and... I'm very sure there's a lot of women that wears this scarf and probably going through the same thing. So it's just not right. This is the country and the land of a freedom. And we're not supposed to be treated like this because of a scarf.
All right, so you heard her say essentially this is the country and the land of the freedom, and I'm sorry if her English is fractured, but there comes a time when a lot of the phrases that we've grown up with or that are known worldwide, they almost become like a cartoon cliche in the mouths of some people, don't they? This is the land of the freedom and the country of the freedom, you know, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying that she ought to get it right, but unfortunately, folks... With increasing rapidity, we're hearing more and more people that should not be heard from at all, including a lot of people that do the job that I do. Fortunately for you, I'm one guy that should be heard. And nonetheless, let me tell you where this is coming from, because this is an easy one to explain, and I'm consistent 3,000% when it comes to this stuff. If this woman was a Christian and she had on some wild Christian hat that she wasn't supposed to wear, or she wanted to have the Bible reading be in the courtroom before the before the trial started, or they wanted to stick the Ten Commandments in the courtroom, I would have the exact same opinion. This is America. That part she got right. This is a land of freedom. That part she got right. This is not a land where you are free, however, to infringe on the rights of others. That's the part that you don't get to be free doing. Now, what are the rights of others that this woman is infringing upon? Well, it's an age-old discussion in this country. I say age-old, 200-plus years old. We've been through it a million times. We all ought to be familiar with the semantics and familiar with the battleground. We've seen it, and we've seen it one too many times for a lot of us, myself included, the battle between religion and the practice of religion and the institutions of religion and those of the state. And we've had this fight with atheists, and we've had this fight with Christians, and we've had this fight with Jews, and now we're having this fight with Muslims. But it's the same fight. And I stand on the same side of the fight that I've always stood on, whether it's a Christian, a Jew, an atheist, or a Muslim. As it turns out, the atheists, even in some instances, I disagree with them. Because if they say, for instance, when they come out of their crypt that they live in there in Wisconsin and they go flying about the country around Christmas time to make sure that they can screw up a few people's holidays, and they go to, for instance, Washington, and they say, well, you're not supposed to have a Christmas tree and you can't have a manger, I believe that while there should be a separation of church and state, there also is community tradition that needs to be respected. And especially if the complaint is being lodged from outside of the community, where someone just says, look at that, there's a Christmas tree, there's a manger, that's wrong, not separating church and state, bing, 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 boom, 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 right? And the tradition that many of us have around Christmas time, which I say us, I mean me, when I see a manger and I see the Jesus and the Mary statue, I'm not a Christian, but it doesn't offend me because I see that as, well, it's part of the tradition. That's kind of the culture of the thing. I don't give a crap. The only reason why I go to church on Christmas is because other members of my family are still practicing Catholic, so I go. I go to Mass, but I'm not a diehard Catholic, and I'm not a diehard Christian, and I don't care one way or the other whether Jesus is in the manger or not, man. I knew he was there once upon a time. That's all that counts for me. And if it's going to piss a few people off, that's fine. However, if there are other people in a community like myself who does believe in a separation of church and state, and they happen to drop a manger scene in there, it ain't going to, you know, it's not going to put my thong in a wad, Jack, okay?
Your thong?
Well, you know what I mean, all right? My underwear, is that better?
Yeah, well, more manly.
Yeah, okay, thanks. But I do believe you keep the religious stuff out of the public square, the public domain. We've been talking about this for years. Now, I said to a caller last night, he's a very nice guy from Atlanta, I said, you know, I understand what you mean about understanding Islam, but there's something more important to me, and I've seen this coming for a long time. I studied religion, comparative religion. I was a kid. I'm of the generation that rejected Western religion, and we started listening to the Maharishi, and we started reading Zen Buddhism, and we started reading Taoism, and we started reading Confucianism, and we started getting into all the other forms of Buddhism and Hinduism and anything with an ism at the end, other than Catholicism. And that was where it was at. So I know about religion, and I know the benefits of each, and this is a wonderful thing. Okay. But the facts are still the facts. And we're going to cease being the United States of America that has a constitution if we keep fooling around with these religionists and their need to have this and that and something else. I know all about their needs. I can walk down any street in any country, in any state, in any city in this country, and I can see churches, I can see synagogues, I can see chapels, I can see seamen's chapels, and I can see captain's chapels, and they got chapels for this and that and something else. They're in airports. They're in hospitals. They're everywhere. And where Muslim people congregate in our country, mosques appear. And where the Jewish people in our country congregate, synagogues appear. And that is as it should be. But what you don't get to do, even if you're a Muslim, even if you're brand spanking new to the experience, you're a Muslim of foreign birth. You're not an American Muslim, born and raised, but a Muslim of foreign birth. Even here in America, you don't get to have your religion wherever you feel like it. Now, the problem is we have fallen over and bent over backwards in some instances because we want to make sure that we do not indict the people who practice the Muslim faith as terrorists. And that is a fair, I believe that's a fair message. You don't want to do that. They're not all terrorists. It's ignorant to think that. But in so falling over backwards, we are beginning to bend some of these rules that we laid down hard and fast with the Christians and the Jews. You don't get to have your religion here and here and here and here. See all those places over there? Yes, that's where you don't get to go. Well, I have freedom over it. You can go into your church, man, and you can jump up and down and ring bells. You can slaughter a calf, whatever the hell you want to do, man. But over there and over there and over there and over there, all of these public areas, public domain, public school, no, 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 no. 1,000 times no. And we'll keep on having this argument until it gets into the thick skulls of some of these people. Now along comes this Muslim woman. And she uses all of that fine language about her Muslim sisters and the freedom of this and the freedom of that. Well, I got a little bit of freedom to lay on you, lady. In my country, in America, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, when you go into a courtroom, you do what the judge tells you to do. You're in a public forum. You're in a publicly funded and publicly sponsored and publicly held forum called the courtroom. Your religion, the practice of your religion in that courtroom, overt, public, practice of your religion in that courtroom, no. N-O. I don't care if it doesn't seem fair. I don't care if you take the headscarf off, your head's going to fall off. I don't give a damn if you believe if you take that scarf off, Muhammad's going to send you down to hell or whatever, or he's going to consign you to a place in line as one of the 7 virgins. I don't know what the hell you believe. It doesn't make any difference to me what you believe. I don't care what you believe if it screws with the institutions of this country, the legal institutions of this country, because that's all we got. That's all we got, man, is the law. You know, like Sir Thomas More said there in that movie, The Man for All Seasons, if you knock down all of the laws, where are you going to stand when the winds blow? How are you going to protect yourself from the devil then?
What movie was that?
The Man for All Seasons, I just said. All right, we'll be back on the Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And I would, I'm certainly welcoming phone calls, but I'm telling you, nobody changes my mind on this. How can you change my mind on this? I got the Constitution of the United States. That's my charter. That's what backs me up. That's what I believe in. All right. The Skanks blogger wants to sue. This woman outed, she didn't out anybody. She called somebody a skank, but she wants to remain anonymous. And she wasn't anonymous. Now she's suing because she ain't anonymous. It's a screwy story. It's next. World famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
What religious rights have I got? Let me ask you something. If I got religious rights in a courtroom, that means I can walk in there wearing an Amish hat and keep my hat on, or I could walk in with my any kind of religious trapping, a yarmulke. Are men supposed to remove their yarmulkes in a courtroom? Men, Jewish men, do they remove those in a courtroom? Do they remove them if the judge tells them to remove them? The courtroom is a public forum where the laws of the country are adjudicated, and individuals, either on the pro or the con side, as a plaintiff or a defendant, state their case or defend themselves from prosecution. Now, what has this got to do with exercising religious rights? And what in legal precedent is there that tells me someone is allowed, because of their religious freedom, to wear or to express religious sentiment in a courtroom, even if the judge tells you, keep that crap outside, because guess what? I got a job to do in here, okay? Now, you don't get Ten Commandments on the grounds of a courthouse. You don't, you're not allowed to parade your religious sentiment, as far as I know, on the grounds of a courthouse. If somebody, for instance, said, well, the government won't put up the Ten Commandments, but I guess I'll just stand there with my Ten Commandments in the rotunda of the courthouse, and I'll just kind of parade my religious sentiment there. At what point does the government say, we got a separation of church and state? Now, a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, I put them all in the same category. You get to do what you want to do when you get to do it, and here's where you don't get to do it. A lot of you Christians that are listening right now who may have a problem with what I'm saying, well, how do you feel when I tell you I hold the same standard of Muslims, too? I'm getting tired, man, to be perfectly honest with you, of a lot of religions, and lately it's been the Muslims saying, well, my religion says that I can't have a job here, and I can't have a cigarette break there, and I better not work through this period, and I got to pray here, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Guess what, man? You got the wrong job, brother. You know what? You got the wrong job. Your religion, I don't even recognize, as a private citizen of this country, I don't recognize your religious rights at all if you're working for me, and I got a job that I want you to do, and today's the day you're going to do it. Now, there are days that have been designated as religious holidays by the government and are so recognized so that people can have those days off. That's about as far as our government goes in acquiescing to the needs and demands of people who have religions. Personally speaking, if I'm running a business and somebody comes to me and they say, well, today is the ba-da-da-da-da day. Really? That's great, man. I got a lot of business I got to get done today. Well, I can't. I got to take the day off. Well, you know what, Charlie? Have a good life, man. I'm going to find somebody who can do the job. See you later. You're going to fire me based on my religious beliefs? No, I'm firing you because you are refusing to work when I'm telling you to work. That's what I'm firing you for. Anyway, and then she has this press conference, and she deigns to describe what freedom is. I don't give this woman any more rights than I give any other nut who's got a religion that says he's got to do this, that, and something else, and it intrudes with the business of the people. It intrudes with the business of the state. You can do what you want, when you want, and how you want, but right now, today, you don't get to do this. Now, I'm going to really look at this closely, and I'm going to tell you something. If this lady wins the right to wear a damn hijab in a courtroom, then all of you Christians listening who have been denied the right to have religious expression in a public forum or a public place, I would readdress that. And I might even stand with you on that, because if she has these rights, well, what the hell? I don't even know what I'm talking about then, right? So go ahead and put the manger up, man, in the city square at Christmas time. And you atheists, you phony balonies, the only thing that you don't like is Christianity. Why don't you come clean, some of you atheists? Your problem is with the Christian faith, not with religion or God, just the Christian faith. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Got a few phone calls to get to, and we have this story. I told you about it last night, and it's interesting to me because I've always been fascinated by the claim that individuals who operate websites and decide to comment anonymously on those websites, that they're protected against libel and slander lawsuits because they're guaranteed some anonymity on the internet. And I don't know where that is actually codified in law. You know, if you're on the internet, you are guaranteed anonymity, and therefore you can't be sued. Now, that may be some kind of a state law or even a national law the constitutionality of which would most likely be shredded if anybody took it to the highest court in the land. And people are now beginning to challenge this notion that you have a reasonable expectation of anonymity and privacy on the internet. While you attack another human being by name, that no. Somebody is either reading it wrong or they got the whole wrong idea on how that game works. And a particular blogger who ran something called Skanks in New York City, her name is Rosemary Port, and she was anonymous while she went around calling everybody a skank. Well, guess what? Google outed her stupid ass. She got sued, and now she's suing back, saying, how dare you sue me for, calling you a skank? I was anonymous, and do you get it? I don't. Here is Melissa in Phoenix. Melissa, what's on your mind tonight? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I was just wanted to comment about this whole woman in the court thing. I just don't understand why clothes matter. Like, if she was in the middle of the court, like you were saying, like if someone's employed, like if she said, I'm sorry, I can't do this right now, I have to go pray, I'll be back in 5 minutes. To me, that's bringing religion into the court. But if she's just wearing clothes, I just don't understand what's the big deal about the clothes.
Like, right, well, the judge, you're not allowed to wear headwear in the courtroom. That is a standard in all courts. You take your hat off. When he asked her to remove the hijab, she refused because it was religious in nature, her wearing of this. And
she can wear like a headband. Like,
what's that?
Her head. I guess to the point that her rights were violated and stuff like that, I just don't feel like it's just clothes. Like I said, if she was trying to pray, if she was trying, you know, if a priest comes in to say, I'm sorry, you can't wear that because you're bringing religion. It's just clothing. Like, I get the concept, like, she didn't have this big Amish hat on or, you know, like, it's just, it's clothes. I just feel like...
And wait a minute, I don't know what your point is. What's your point? What is your point? I'm missing it here.
Why is these little things, like, people are making such a big deal about little things. Like, this is her biggest issue in her life.
No. You're I don't know what point you're making. You're crossing two concepts here. First of all, the judge told her to take it off. If you're saying what's the big deal about clothes, then you might say to the judge, what's your problem, judge, with the clothes?
Number one, to the judge, to say, like, obviously there was a bigger issue there. That's why she was there. I don't know what she was there for.
She's getting some kind of a name change, I think.
Okay, whatever. She was there at the court. But to me, you're in a court, you're a judge, you're trying to do something. And it's not like it's just clothing. I just don't understand what the concept and the big issue about clothes is. It's just, yeah, so what? She didn't have her hair showing. Like, why does that matter? And why is that considered a religious thing to say, I know that's part of their culture and that is part of what they believe.
Well, then what's the big deal with the judge asking her to take it off? Why doesn't he lighten up?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand for the judge. Why?
So you think they're both screwy? Is that what you're saying?
A little bit.
Okay, well, thanks for your call. Well, there's a point of view. They're both nuts. It's just clothing. She should wear it if she wants to because it's religious. He should let her wear it and not even be hung up by that. And the trappings of the court and the respect that we try to engender for the court, that one does engender by saying the judge will have certain decorum. An attorney is supposed to wear a suit, you know, that's presentable, and you're supposed to come into the courtroom looking like an officer of the court and not like some slob. There are a lot of different things and disciplines that one adopts when one is arguing a case, when one presents oneself as a lawyer in front of a judge, and there are things that a judge expects. Why is that important? It's a tradition that engenders respect for the institution of the court. I understand it. I like it. I think it's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think as a citizen, I expect my courtroom to be a place of sobriety and thought and study of the law and arguing of the law. And there should not be distractions based upon somebody's sloppy looking face or beard or clothes or what have you. And the judge calls the shot when it comes to that kind of thing. He certainly is not, in a lot of cases, the final arbiter of what is just. He is there to mediate and to moderate and to listen to points of law. Oftentimes, there's a jury there that's going to decide who's going to be guilty or innocent. So, anyway, thank you for your call, man. That's about as I think I understood what she was saying. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know where we're going to next. Here's Nicholas in Minneapolis. Nicholas?
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
I just wanted to say I love what you're doing. I think it's not about if you're right or you're left. It's about whether or not you're correct. I have an hour commute to Minneapolis every day to work, and I listen to a half an hour of public radio and half an hour of conservative radio. And I think if you want to learn anything, you got to listen to people who don't always think like you, and you got to listen to the facts. You got to find some primary sources. And, you know, your last comment, I consider myself an atheist. And I want to hear if you think I just hate Christians and it's not just about being atheist. I want to hear that because if I'm wrong, I want to know about it. I don't want someone who's just going to reinforce me being wrong. I want to hear why I might be wrong, and I want to hear other points of view. And I want to hear where it's coming from all sides, and I don't want to just be sucked in. I want some news. If people care about, you know, the news, if someone watches 4 hours of news a day and they say it's because, you know, I want to know what's going on in the world, then look up some primary sources.
Are you willing to believe that, if after getting all of these arguments and listening to everybody, are you willing to realize the possibility that you could believe in God someday?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. I mean, that's fair, man.
To learn anything, you have to consider everything.
Well, I agree. The only problem that I've had with atheists in the past is if you are an atheist and you don't want religious display in public places, then you got to be consistent with not just the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews, but the Native Americans, for instance. I've talked to atheists who celebrate the solstice. And I actually got into this woman hung up. Yeah, well, this woman said she celebrates the solstice. I said, wait a second, you realize that has roots in pagan religion? Well, that's not why I said, well, then why are you, what's the point, you know? Because it's the longest day and it's the, whatever the hell she was saying, I don't know, you know. Atheists are so long as, but sometimes I get the sense that it's really just an anti-Christian organization, you know. We just don't want Jesus hanging around here. And the other religions we don't think much about.
And
you know,
I agree completely, and that's half my problem with atheists. I don't like the grouping in and of itself of anything. I call myself an atheist just on a personal belief status of, you know, I'm not a believer in God. I don't believe in a.
Do you believe in the earth? So you don't believe in the Earth Mother or any. You don't have any kind of. Do you wear anything made of leaves?
I don't believe there's a whole lot of meaning to life. You can just do good by other people because it's a fair thing to do, and you can just enjoy yourself.
When you pull an apple from a tree, do you thank the tree? Do you ever do anything like that? I'm just trying to determine.
No.
Because if you wear any kind of clothing that's made of leaves,
I don't think the tree cares.
The tree doesn't care?
I don't think the tree's grateful for giving me the apple. I don't.
But are
I,
you I grateful to the tree? That's okay. Good. Good. That's excellent. Because I know a lot of atheists who thank a tree when they pull an apple, and then I go, "Aha! See, you believe in the tree god."
That's not atheist.
I told them they believe in the apple god, and that. Thanks very much, Nicholas. Good points, man. And you're broad-minded, open-minded. I'll say open, not broad-minded. Thank you for your call, man. Appreciate it. And I was screwing around there with Nicholas, but I got the point. Here is David in Bend, Oregon. David, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was just calling. It's the first time I've heard your show, and I was calling about the headline from either Fox or CNN that you were talking about with the 5 to 8 year olds. The UN report.
Yeah, it was a UN report recommending a certain level of sex education and a type of sex education for 5 to 8 year olds.
I was just calling to find out. From what you said, it sounds like, you know, 5 to 8 year olds, in my point of view, that they don't need to be learning about touching private parts and pleasure zone, you know, pleasure of this and that. And some people mm-hmm. do, some people don't. I've got two mm-hmm. kids of my own. One's 15 years old and one's just born now. And, you know, to me, it seems like that age group is, you know, that's too much material for. You know, even if it was just a here you go, teachers, here's some material for you to decide if you're going to teach it to the kids. You know, I think that age group is way too young for, you know, teaching them about touching private parts.
Right. Well, the original issue I had was the headline from Fox, which was UN report advocates teaching masturbation to 5 year olds. That's not what that was in that report. And so that was an irresponsible. And it's OK if Fox is going to do what they're going to do. CNN, they're all going to do what they're going to do to try to get us to read their garbage, you know, but it's not an accurate headline. They're not teaching masturbation. They are, however, informing 5 year olds as to the existence of it, as to what it is and what happens. Now, my instinct is yours. Boy, that's young. What I'm willing to do, though, and I don't know how you feel about this, I'd like to find out from the people who would advocate this, and with an open mind, say, okay, now what makes you feel a 5 year old can hear this information? Because maybe there's something I'm missing here. I don't know. What is it about a 5 year old that a doctor, a professional, a psychologist, a child behaviorist would say, no, you guys ought to slow down because a 5 year old is capable of hearing this. We're not sexualizing them. We're informing them at this level, and here's what, because they may have an answer that makes sense, you know. I don't know,
about preschool to what's that? First, second grade.
It's young. It's young, but I don't know that they're going to be using the word masturbation. First of all, they're not. We know they're not going to be teaching them this. So this was a erroneous, I dare say, flagrantly false headline. Fox knew what they were reporting was false. That I really had a problem with that. But then the word itself, I don't know that you're going to even lay that word on a 5 year old. It may be something as simple as explaining what this is that some people do. But there may be some language that professionals know how to use with 5 year olds. Is it going to help the kid or hurt the kid? I just want to know what is in their thinking. My first instinct is yours. Boy, that's really young, man. You guys need to have a really good reason for this. But maybe they do. I just don't know what it is because Fox ain't going to tell me, CNN isn't going to tell me, and the rest of these jackasses aren't going to tell me. You and I have got to dig this stuff out and find out if it's good for my kid, tell me about it, and if it's not good for my kid, we'll determine that as well. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I know you don't agree, and I understand your reasons. I totally understand your reasons. But the first thing I want you to know is you read that headline that has been put there for you to get pissed off for no other reason than for you to get pissed off. You're being manipulated. You are not getting the story, and you need to find out what that is. David, thanks so much. Here is Cheryl in Portland. Cheryl, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Cheryl.
The main thing that I wanted to point out, and I don't even know if people realize, is when you go somewhere and you are there, you have to abide by their rules. If we send our kids overseas on the foreign exchange program, do they not have to learn the language first and the culture first, to that way they are acclimating to their culture? I mean, that's the main thing.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we're talking about law here. I mean, there are certain cultural things that maybe or may not be expected. But our law, our charter, our Constitution talks about a separation of church and state. And when someone is wearing a religious robe or a religious artifact of some kind in a courtroom, the judge says, take it off, you take it off. And that is the separation of church and state articulated in our Constitution and reinforced by precedent, by Supreme Court rulings, and that's where it's at. And I hold Muslims to the same standard that we hold Christians and Jews, you know, whether or not they learn. Yeah, see, and so and it bugs me, man, because like I said, something tells me that we're going to bend over backwards because the lady is a Muslim and we want to make sure that we send the right message to Muslims. We don't think you're terrorists. Well, that's not a bad message to send, but it has no place in this particular case. This is a case having to do, right, with our constitutional precedent. Thank you, Cheryl, very much. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Constitutional precedent. Not president, precedent.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, our stories we couldn't get to tonight. We start in Snowmass, Colorado. A bear that wandered into a sunken skateboard park and got stuck was rescued when officials lowered a ladder so it could climb out. In our next story, there's more to the story. The bear was discovered Tuesday morning in the Colorado resort town of Snowmass, according to KUSA-TV. And they lie often, so... No, they said that, and I'm sure they're telling the truth. Officials say it apparently was in the park all night and couldn't get out because of the steep concrete sides. Workers from the Parks and Recreation Department lowered a long ladder. The bear eventually climbed the ladder and wandered away, but not before saying, I have a fear of heights, and they said, it's okay, you know. No injuries were reported to people or the bear. Bear sightings have been common this summer in the Colorado Mountains. That's because it's a mountain and bears live there. Wow. Anyway, authorities are pressing residents not to leave out food or trash that attract bears. Most bears are trapped and relocated after encounters with humans. More aggressive bears are shot and killed on sight, and then they laugh and go in and have a rum. No, they don't do that, but if they're aggressive and they hurt people, then you kill them. Mount Vernon, Washington, a Northwest Washington man is recovering after accidentally shooting himself in the leg while hunting an opossum that had been snatching his chickens. Larry Tenbrink of Mount Vernon was watching TV when he heard his chickens, quote, carrying on late Sunday. He figured the problem was the opossum that had already killed more than a dozen of his chickens over the past few months. Tenbrink grabbed his .22 caliber pistol, headed outside, and spotted an opossum the size of a large cat wandering his property. But he accidentally pulled the trigger too early, sending a bullet through his lower right thigh. What a dummy. The 61-year-old handyman told the Skagit Valley Herald on Monday, because that's how slow the news is around there. A guy shoots himself in the thigh while going after an opossum, and they send out their ace crime reporter on that one. Anyway, he told the reporter for the Skagit Valley Herald on Monday that he's back home after a trip to the hospital, and though the opossum is free for now, he'll be hunting it again, but next time he says he'll use a trap. And the opossum will come armed with a .22. And you better believe, sir, opossums don't miss. So, anyway, in Phoenix, rapper DMX did some jail time in the Valley. Now he's sounding off on his time served on Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio in a new video posted on TMZ.com. DMX was out to dinner this week in West Hollywood when paparazzi asked him about any advice he'd give to his fans. And I believe we do have that audio, do we not, Bud Dickman?
Yeah, you're right over here in...
Here is the DMX arrest audio.
I know you're on one Arizona TV network, and you're like, man, they're wearing this with pink.
Yeah, man, stripes and pink. Pink underwear, pink socks, and slippers.
Underwear, too?
Underwear, pink. Sheets of pink, all that, man. It's just ridiculous.
So what can you tell the people, like the kids out there, like what to do, what not to do?
Stay the out of Arizona.
Anyway, DMX finished up his foul-mouthed rant with a little freestyle. I'm scared of no one, and I don't run, said DMX. Tell expletive X is back. It ain't where I'm at. It's what I'm given X. Anyway, DMX, his real name is Bobby Smith. No, it's Earl Simmons. What if it was like something like Timmy Jones? That's... Anyway, DMX, whose real name is Earl Simmons, recently served time in Maricopa County Jail for missing a court appearance in December 2008. He was due in court to face charges of drug possession, identity theft, and animal cruelty. Now, do you think it's so cool there, TMZ? Animal cruelty. Did he beat a dog? Did he electrocute cats? Did he electrocute dogs? 11? Huh? Anyway, DMX also complained in the video about Arpaio's infamous pink underwear that he makes inmates wear at the jail. Well, that ain't anything I'd be talking too loud about, DMX, because some of your homes, you know, they might not think it's manly, and they may have to knock you down a notch or something, you know? They may have to get the underboss to take over. They may have to get the underboss to take off your underwear. In Niceville, Florida, that's the name of the town, an officer responded to Kelly Road in Niceville on August 21st at an apartment complex where a woman was spraying a 9-ounce can of Glade Potpourri air freshener around another woman's head because she was smoking, according to the Niceville Police Department report. The woman was waving the can in the air around the other woman's head, dispensing the air freshener. The woman then pointed the air freshener at the back of the other woman's head and sprayed the air freshener directly to the back of her head for almost 1 minute, according to the report. The woman said to the other woman, "I will do it again and take it to the Supreme Court because I have the right to breathe fresh air," the police report said. This was the second time the woman had attacked the other women with air freshener. She stated that she will continue to spray the woman as long as she continues smoking in front of her apartment. The woman was arrested for battery. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. From the El Pacifico, a very pleasant good morning.
Thanks, Henry.
Phil Hendry.